And we're going now to Brian O'Connell on another story completely. He's in the same southwest part of the country. I don't know what the weather's like down there. Brian, you're going to talk to us about salmon because close to where you are, or at least in Bantry, close to a quarter of a million farmed salmon were either freed or destroyed as a result of recent storm damage to a fish farm in the county. Brian, tell us more.
Well, good morning, Sean. It's a lovely day down in Cork, I have to say, like Costa del Cork down here. And this story relates to, well, I'll just fill you in on the context first a little bit on the fish farm industry here in Ireland. The value of that industry, salmon exports are growing. They've increased by about 18% since 2008. And there are really big plans afoot now to keep up with demand from overseas, Sean. For example, Bord Íoscigh has plans for €100 million deep sea fish farm off Galway. And one of the big players expanding here is a company called Marine Harvest. And this is a Norwegian company responsible for about three quarters of the farm salmon produced here. Now, that company would like to triple the size of their operations in Ireland, and they're waiting on licences. The government has a goal of increasing what they call our ocean economy turnover to over 6 billion by 2020. So suffice to say, there are really big plans in this whole area of farmed salmon.
In the meantime, Brian, you are on the trail and you've talked about licences there. But before we come to that, before we come to the missing quarter of a million fish or thereabouts, there are problems with these licences at present.
There are, and it was reported in Village Magazine in this week's issue, there's a huge hold-up in the issuing of aquaculture licences, so that 27 of the 36 fish farms operating in Ireland don't have a current licence to do so. Now, the IFA says this hold-up, Sean, is costing the industry about €60 million a year. And the IFA, it should be pointed out, are generally enthusiastically supporting fish farming. It seems to be that when a licence lapses, if you have a licence for, say, 10 years, when it lapses, it could be several years before you can get to renew the licence, as such a delay in licences being issued.
OK, back now to Bantry Bay, Brian. Yeah. What happened there in recent times?
Well, I'd heard that there was an issue of some storm damage related to the recent bad weather in the last few months. Now, there are two salmon fish farms in Bantry Bay, Sean, and they've been there for over 20 years. So earlier on this week, I headed down to Bantry Bay and I met first with Alec O'Donovan from the Inland Fisheries Ireland. And he talked to me through what he estimates is one of the largest salmon fish farm escapes ever recorded in Ireland.
We're at Gerry's in Bantry Bay.
And if we look out here, I mean, it's the famous Bantry Bay. And as you said, if we look out maybe in the mid-distance, there is what just looks like to me like sort of rafts or something on the ocean. That is a fish farm.
Yes, they're actually salmon cages.
What is the issue?
Well, the issue is that, first of all, they're located in the wrong place. For that reason, we had a massive fish escape in February. It was a result of a series of gales, all right. Our argument the whole time has been that Bantry Bay and other places like it are totally unsuitable for salmon cages because, as has now been proved, they cannot stand up to the conditions, the weather conditions that we get here.
So what happened here? These fish, where did they go? Did they escape?
They escaped, and they normally go out to sea. They will interbreed and intermix with the other fish.
Your concern then is with the native wild salmon, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah. The wild salmon have been under extreme pressure over the last 40, 50 years. Since the drift netting ceased in Ireland in 2007, they've come on fantastic.
And you're worried if these farm salmon get into the rivers, they'll breed with the wild salmon and it'll dilute the genetic pool.
Yes, this is what happened. The statistics now show that in Norway, 40% of the salmon in the Norwegian rivers are genetically interfered with the escape salmon.
So that's Alec O'Donovan from the Inland Fisheries Ireland, Sean, and that's one of the big worries about this mass escape, as people are calling it, that they feel that the farm salmon in Bantry Bay could interfere with the local marine biology. Now, we've done a huge amount in Ireland to try and restock our rivers and lakes, and salmon is, we should remember, an EU-protected species. The company behind the fish farms have said previously in a brief statement that the fish were killed or destroyed by the storm.
I suppose we'll come back to the question of how they can know that and does it apply to all of their fish. But the numbers are staggering. You seem to be talking about close to a quarter of a million fish, which are not accounted for and presumably could have swum simply out into Bantry Bay when the cages became loose.
Well, the undisputed fact here is that 230,000 salmon that were in this fish farm in the middle of Bantry Bay and not there anymore. And now when you compare that figure to the overall numbers of escapes in recent years from all the fish farms in Ireland, there was about 415,000 salmon between 1996 and 2008, I think it was, or 2004, sorry. And that gives you some idea of the scale of this particular incident. I met one other concerned local person, Chloe Neal, and she's concerned at the plans to increase the number of fish farms in Ireland. But I began, Sean, by asking Chloe, really, what's the big deal if farmed salmon did indeed escape?
When they farm salmon in breeds with a wild salmon, you're diluting the inherent knowledge within that wild salmon.
And were you concerned when the fish farm was installed day one when it was set up, this operation?
We're concerned about the expansion. The problem is you've already got two salmon farms in Bantry Bay. And if you further expand them, all the wild salmon are going to have to run the gauntlet. There will be no way of avoiding passing these farms. The problem is that the salmon farms have sea lice. And when the young salmon go past the salmon farms, migrating out to sea, the sea lice attach themselves to the salmon smolts.
Now, you found it very slow to get information about what happened here in February.
We did, yes. The information wasn't forthcoming. In the end, it took questions, parliamentary questions, put forward by Claire Daly to Simon Coveney to get any answers.
What do you think happened to the fish?
Well, there's no evidence they died, so that leaves me thinking they swam off. Marine Institute and the Irish Farmers Association have both claimed that they died and disintegrated, which I find a fairly far-fetched idea and somewhat patronising, to be honest.
But surely if close to 250,000 fish died, you'd be picking them up off the shoreline for weeks.
Exactly. And during the aftermath of the storm, just when they had escaped, there'd been a very sad tragedy here and two Dutchmen had gone missing. The Coast Guards were out in helicopters every day. They were out driving around the coast and there was nothing unusual reported. So no salmon washing up. There weren't big numbers floating on the surface. The cages hadn't sunk because of the weight of dead salmon at the bottom of them. So that can only lead you to believe that they swam away.
Can I bring you one comment, Sean, on Twitter from Annie West? She said, this is what happens when you put in salmon who are really good at picking locks. because we've heard very little from the company, Murphy's Irish Seafood, Sean, and they're behind the fish farms in Bantry Bay, some locals, including Chloe, now they have a lot of questions that they've found it very hard to get answers to.
I would like to ask them what is being done to make their salmon farms more secure. I'd like to ask them what they felt happened to the fish. I'd like to ask them for a bit more openness and honesty in the dialogues. And also, I'd like to ask Simon Coveney about what are the standards for the security, and I mean the physical security of salmon farms, the inspections, and what are the mechanical standards, the engineering standards these are designed to.
Because you're saying this incident happened on the 1st of February, but yet it took 18 days, you think, before a boat went out and inspected it?
Yes, it was 18 days for the well boat to go out, but there was the salmon farming work boat was out before that. And then it took till the 13th of March, so 6 weeks, before any divers went out to inspect the site.
And back to you, Alec. Would you like to see no salmon farms in Ireland?
Yes, I would. Yes. My interest in salmon farming goes back to the 1980s. About 30 years ago, if you want to get a meal in a pub in a fishing village up in the west of Ireland, you'd have to be in by 8 o'clock at the earliest. Nowadays, you go up there and you get a meal up to 11 o'clock because there's nobody fishing in the areas. Fishermen like to catch fish. Tourists come because you had plentiful fish there. Now the fish has gone down to zero. If you look at some of the websites which I saw 3 or 4 years ago, it said Ireland is a fantastic place to fish, but not to catch fish.
And that's Alec O'Donovan there of the inland fisheries side of the argument, and Chloe Neal outlining their concerns. Now, I gather you met, Brian, with the company's owner, John Murphy, and did he enlighten you much about what happened to these 230,000 fish?
Well, I suppose we should say firstly, John Murphy, he's very well respected locally. He's built up his business from the 1980s, Sean, when basically he and a few friends, they threw down a couple of mussel ropes. And now they've developed this to operating a multi-million euro business. They've upwards of 60 full and part-time staff. Now, this year was to be a big year for the company. They had orders from some of the biggest chain stores in the US. They'd done deals with China. And on the morning of February the 1st, what he calls the mother of all storms, it struck his farms. Now, it took another 18 days from then before he and staff could get out to the farm. And he contends that a lot of the fish were destroyed by the storm, as he explains now.
The waves were coming in from the open bay and breaking in over the cages. We hauled the cages and we found there was some dead fish, the cages were quite mixed up in each other.
And reports that something like about 230,000 fish were lost. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. That would be an accurate figure.
Are you saying that they were all killed, or inevitably some of them must have escaped?
It's quite possible. It's hard to know. Because of the storms, the relentless storms, there was no way of doing anything else. We did as much as we could to salvage what we could.
So questions will be raised, John, about why was a farm put in a bay like this if something like this was able to happen?
Well, Bantry Bay is a very safe bay. Locally here, people have never seen anything like it. So these things happen, and it's like the perfect storm. It happened, and...
So what about the impact then? Such a huge... I think this is the largest escape from a fish farm in Ireland, probably the seventh or eighth largest in Europe, a moment of correction on that. The impact that could have on the local marine biology, the impact on the significant investment on inland waterways to try and replenish our salmon stock.
I suppose I'm not in the position to answer that because I'm not qualified in that area. I think, I've talked to people such as Richie Flynn, who would be in the IFA, regarding a proof that it does affect the stock on the wild stock. And
Do you think it'll have an impact?
I don't believe it does, but that's my belief, and I'm sure there are other people which believe otherwise.
I know, but some people might say almost a quarter of a million fish being released into this bay here has to have some impact on the marine biology around it.
I'm not saying there was a quarter of a million released. The fish were drowned inside in the cages. It's wrong to say there were 230,000
that swam away out the bay. But then again, you don't know how many... did swim
away
out.
Well, we don't know, and we can argue this until the cows come home.
Okay, the potential was there that 230,000 fish just swam out into Bantry Bay.
But that's not correct. I have to say that's not correct.
So how many fish did you pull up that were dead?
The fish that were dead. Well, if you actually... I didn't see a count in the fish that were dead. It was one horrible mess.
But suffice to say, a large number of fish probably did get out and swim out into Bantry Bay.
I could dispute that, and I can sit here and say, well, look, looking at the damage done to the cages, the moorings, the way they swung around, the entanglement, I'd find it very hard to believe that a lot of the fish escaped.
So, Brian, John's saying there he believes that maybe most of the fish disintegrated or were destroyed by the impact of the waves, so he doesn't have a number or a count of how many would have died or been lost in that way. So questions clearly remain about how many of them got free. Now, is there any possibility or would it be at all realistic to talk in terms of moving farms like that much closer to the shore, even moving them inland?
Well, you do get inland fish farms, but cost, I think, is the issue. And recirculation of salt water isn't the easiest thing in the world to do from people I've spoken to. So I suppose that's why one of the solutions being put forward now is these deep sea fish farms. And there's one being looked at, as I said, off the coast of Galway. The farms, you know, for people who mightn't have seen one, they're essentially large cages or nets, Sean, with something over the top of them, generally a net which would keep birds away. And they're secured by moorings. The moorings should be maintained and changed regularly. And as you heard there, John Murphy contends that the fish were disintegrated by the force of the water. I think some of the waves were 60 feet high, recorded off the coast of Cork. And the cages would have moved around quite a lot. And although he can't put a figure on how many lived or died, he feels a significant number of them died and didn't just simply swim away. Others dispute that.
Even more questions then arising about whether you can safely, from an environmental point of view, have cages and salmon farms out in the more open ocean where the threats of the weather would be even greater. But you also asked him, you asked John about concerns people have about fish farms in Ireland and whether they maybe might actually be doing more harm than good.
Yeah, well, aside from the impact to the environment, with a large percentage of the stock for John now gone from this year and the insurance is unlikely to cover his costs, you know, you could be looking at job losses there, Sean. I asked John finally, why do we need fish farms in Ireland at all?
Population of the world is increasing by a phenomenal amount, and the protein required to feed this population that's going to happen between now and 2050 is just it will need 50% more protein.
But can you understand the people who are against farmed salmon?
The population of wild fish is decreasing at a phenomenal rate because the population of the world is demanding more fish, and aquaculture is the only way that protein can be delivered to the people over the next 20, 30, 40 years. How are we going to feed the world going forward?
Sure, and what about the issues in of sea lice? That seems to be a problem that people highlight again and again and again. They say that the sea lice that's created in these farms, it does impact on the natural stocks that are in the rivers and that move out to sea and back into the rivers again.
We actually don't have a problem with sea lice down the southwest coast here, so I'm not really going to comment on the guys up the west or the north.
It's never been an issue here, has it?
It isn't an issue here.
Do you think maybe if, you know, down the line there could be a kind of a more open dialogue with the local population or those who have concerns locally?
Well, they're welcome to come and have a look at what we do here. I was surprised. I know there's a lot of objections going in. Yes, I know farms. It would be nice if the country never changed, you know, but there's sheds being built, there's houses being built, there's skyscrapers being built around the world. Here we are in Ireland, and look out across the bay, look at Bantry Bay, look at the size of it. What that bay can generate from, we'll say, aquaculture. You have the mussel industry in Bantry, we have now the salmon farm. If you go into any restaurant, one of the first things you'll say, well, what's the local produce? If there's no local produce, then what do restaurants do? You know, we can produce a wonderful product here that's renowned across the world. I mean, we have had a significant loss here, which is going to affect everybody that works with our company. It's about survival, and we're going to have to survive, and that's my job to make sure the company survives, and I will do my damnedest to make it survive.
So, Brian, that's John Murphy there from Murphy Seafood, arguing this was an extreme weather event impacted on the fish farm, resulting in huge losses for his company, and he's now trying to retrieve the situation.
Yes, and Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine officials have inspected the site, as I understand, Sean. So for him now, it's just a matter, of trying to survive this, get back up and running. I think we'll look at other issues around fish farms in the coming weeks, Sean. There are concerns that we didn't get to touch on in this report that I think are worth exploring. Many people feel we're going gung-ho into farmed salmon in Ireland, ramping up our production without any great dialogue around what the potential might be for incidents such as this, where, as we said, close to 250,000 salmon are no longer there. There is an application for another larger fish farm in Bantry Bay at the moment that's going through the process. So people have concerns, and people are wondering what the potential is for an impact on the natural marine life in places like Bantry Bay and surrounding areas.
Right, Brian, in other words, we'll be back to this one. Yeah. And anyone with concerns or opinions who'd like to get in touch can do so to our email address. It's today, sor@rte.ie. Brian, thank you very much indeed.